Hey everybody, welcome back to another fine episode on this chilly day in November. It's the Smash Bros. Weekend. Smash Bros. Weekend coming to a close, and been a great weekend playing that game with friends. So let's go around and see what everyone else has been doing gaming-wise. We got Tim.
What's up? Yeah, this is Tim here. I'm at graduated_gamer on Twitter. Yeah, I know you're super pumped about Super Smash Bros. Coming out this past week. You know, myself personally, I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed 2. You know, it was free on Xbox Live like a year ago, and I got it, and I just figured, you know what? I need a good like 10-hour game. So I love it. I think it's awesome. Kind of hooked on it, so I'll probably have to play the rest of the series if I can find them for pretty cheap. And on a side note, what will soon be in my system will be Super Smash Bros. Because I will be getting a Wii U system come this Black Friday. And I know you're really pumped about that, so you can whoop my ass all up and down Super Smash Bros.
So, no, it'll, you know, it's a new game. It's, you know, level playing field.
Well, I do have to find, maybe, apparently, an adapter for the GameCube controllers, and I guess they're sold out everywhere. So we'll have to see how that goes, apparently.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yep.
Good spot. Let's go over to Reen, who's in much warmer Florida.
Sunny
right
Florida.
Now. I'm jealous.
Yep.
Yeah, you keep rubbing it in, and I would still rather be up there covered in snow and making snow.
Oh
angry.
My god, it doesn't make any sense, but okay, whatever.
Okay. Are we on the topic of what's in your system? Just wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm still milking the Evil Within in my system, and I'm going for my Platinum. I think I'm at 71% complete. I just found all the collectibles, and right now I'm going for the Quick and the Dead trophy, which is play the game under 5 hours, or it is what it is without upgrading any green gel, although I should have decided to do them separately because the boss battles are taking more time, seeing as I can't upgrade my weapons without green gel. So, like, I'm just working on that one. I think last week, Lessa and I played a bit of Dead Island with a couple of our Twitter buddies, Chris and Lily. It was epic. It was fun. Like, I'm a bit lost with the storyline because I missed the prelude or tutorial thing in the beginning and just joined second player, but I'm seriously enjoying Dead Island so far. I think it's a great game.
I've had that on my shelf for quite some time, and I kind of, you know, have always looked at it and been like, I should play this game, so it's good to hear that someone else I know has played it and enjoys it, so...
What
system
do you have it for? The 360. Oh, okay, never mind.
No, it's always going to happen, honestly, because a lot of the games I have in my backlog are for the 360, because I just got the PS3, like, well, about a year ago now, but I still don't have a big library.
Okay.
One day.
My heart is there with you for the, I was going to say the Evil Within, but no, the Dead Island.
Yep.
Dead Island.
I feel
game.
You, sister. I feel you.
As for me...
Lessa.
Okay.
Joel's sleeping over there. Joel's just like, okay, just gonna take a nap. Too much stuff.
Well, I mean, as for me, Reen just summed up our week and our weekend. It was Dead Island with Twitter buds and her, and then I spent my weekend just watching Reen replay The Evil Within. A lot of cussing and a lot of shooting.
Only because... some of those boss battles just irked me to no point that they are...
No, there was the moments where you were just mocking Sebastian, and he's like, oh, what the fuck? And I was like, Reen, watch your mouth. And you're like, no, he said it, why can't I? And I was like, girl, no. Parental unit is in the house. Keep it down. Profanity filter's on.
The what filter?
Yeah.
Profanity.
Oh, profanity. I thought I heard something completely... Never mind. Just skip what I thought you said. Hey, I heard something interesting. I'm just going to move on. Heard something interesting about The Evil Within. Not to dwell too much on this, but I guess there's like a god mode you can have in the game. And I don't know. I don't know how like you activate it. I didn't do much research beyond that. But I guess there's like a god mode. And if you can get like your head chopped off in the game and still walk around and play the game.
This is probably for Steam, because I think I saw an article about hacks or something for Steam. But I was going to say, like, oh, hell yes, because I am going to play, like, the last two trophies after I get these two I'm going for is I have to beat the game on the hardest difficulties, which is Nightmare and then Akamu, or, like, however it's pronounced. And that one will probably, my profanity filter will most likely be off for that one, because I think it's a one-hit, one-kill for the entire game. Like, I think during the game, if you get hit once, you die. So, jeez. I know I get hit a couple times during the levels because...
A couple times? Okay, you have bad timing. That game is all about timing.
The melee sucks for that game. Even at level 5 for stamina, the melee is crap.
It sucks for timing. I'm sorry.
Look, here's a simple solution. Just get a Game Shark, and you'll be just fine, right? They make them for the PS4, yeah? Game Sharks?
Game Shark.
Of course. I don't know. It's a thing. You guys are too young. Basically, it's like there's going to be a new thing. If she doesn't know what a Game Shark is, she's too young for you, bro. There you go. So.
I feel like this just became a meme.
It probably will. I mean, it should be if it's not. But, I mean, you know, if you don't know what a Game Shark is, then, yeah, it's I'm aging
myself. But I'm too young for both of you, but what is a Game Shark?
Really? Game Sharks was, like, this thing from, like, the days of carts, like, cartridges where, like, on the Sega Genesis or Super Nintendo or whatever, you would plug in the game with the Game Shark, and the Game Shark would basically, like, it was like a crack. You would just, like, basically unlock a bunch of, like, secrets of the game. That, like,
back then, I think it was still Game Genie.
Was it Game Genie? Yeah, I think you're right.
Well,
there was
Game
like
Shark started for N64.
Okay, there you go. It was just like a way of like doing. It was like Konami code and stuff, but you didn't have to enter any codes. You just pop it into the Game Genie or the Game Shark, and it would open up like an interface and say, "Before you play, do you want to like open up any of these modes, like God Mode or Super Speed or any of the other things that you could unlock?" It basically just like cracked the system and let you. It messed around with the. I'm guessing it messed around with the code and let you do whatever the hell in the game you wanted to, within reason.
But where's the challenge?
That's the thing. That was back in the day when games were actually challenging. So
yeah, games were way
true.
Hard.
Okay.
Yeah, like Battletoads.
I remember Double Dragon 3 for NES. You have to use Game Genie to have a chance to beat that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to get past the first level. It's stupid hard.
Yep. I know for Dead Space 1, I believe, it wasn't like a cheat like this Game Shark that you're talking about, but it was like in-game cheats, where like if you press like triangle, square, circle, circle, triangle, X, or something like that, it like automatically refills your stasis, it gives you 10 mm-hmm. power nodes or something like that, which was nice, and then they took it away for Dead Space 2, so.
Yeah, once things moved away from carts, then your cheat codes became a little bit more popular. Like, I mean, the Konami code obviously is like one of the granddaddies of them all, but... You know, like for, you know, PlayStation games and everything like else like that, like especially Grand Theft Auto was one that had a lot. You could enter codes for like infinite money or like a bunch of weapons, a tank, a helicopter, stuff like that. So once the carts were gone, you had to rely on codes and stuff like that. So I think there's still games around that use that, but I don't know. I don't use them because, like we just said, games nowadays, not as challenging as they were back in the old cart days.
Mm-hmm. I can see your point on that part, because I think Mario back in the day, like on the Super Nintendo, was much more challenging than like these Mario parties nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Like, unless you play against Joel, in which case they are super difficult and you can never, ever win.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Don't even think about it. Yeah, Nintendo's a terrible offender this nowadays with like nerfing their games and making them really easy. Prime example right now, the new Super Smash Brothers.
Here it comes.
You start with fucking... Let me tell you. You start with 40 characters. You only can unlock 8 more.
What?
Like, where's the fun in that? Like,
yeah.
It's kind of cool that you can just open it up and you have, like, almost everyone to play, like, with your friends. But it was a lot of fun in, like, the first two Smash Bros. Games to go through and, like, figure out all the different ways you had to unlock the new characters. And, like, you didn't know who was going to be in it. Like, now we know, like, all the characters in it, and you start with almost everyone. Mm. You start with almost every stage. Like, we unlocked all the characters and stages, like, barely over 24 hours after I got the game. It was...
There's no
fun in that.
Don't you also have to, like, buy the Wii U version and the 3DS version to get the 49th character, Mewtwo?
Mewtwo!
I did not know that. Was a thing.
I think it just was released, like, announced this past week that, like, if you, like, the 49th character is going to be Mewtwo, and if you buy the Wii U and the 3DS version, I think this is how it goes, then, like, in the springtime 2015, Mewtwo will be available for you to download on the Wii U, and, like, sometime in the winter, I think, it will be available to download for the 3DS. So, yeah.
You have to buy it.
You don't have to buy Mewtwo, but I don't think you can yet buy Mewtwo, but you have to buy, have to own both the 3DS and the Wii U version. I could be completely wrong on this, but I believe the story I read, like, in passing when I was just out and about on my phone stated that you had to own both versions, but I'll look into it a little bit later, because I think that seems kind of cheap.
Can you imagine if Super Smash Bros. Ever came to, like, Sony and Microsoft? It's like, for $1.99, you can buy the DLC for this new character.
Yep, exactly. To unlock
Marth. Do that with Mario Kart, kind of. So, I mean, it's cool that you can, like, they add Link, Fox, like, Captain Falcon, Samus and stuff, but it's, like, $12.
Sheesh.
Thinking about it.
Yeah, is that the one that comes with, like, a bunch of different Shy Guy colors and stuff like that, too?
Yeah. New stages.
Yeah, it kind of is a bummer that a company like Nintendo would get into that sort of game, but
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of inevitable.
Still,
debatable. We'll get into that later, Joel. Don't get ahead of ourselves.
So moving along to it's been snowing here up in Michigan for like a couple of weeks already.
Yep.
Which is nonsense. But since it's on the ground, we have to deal with it for the next, 6 months.
Yay!
Let's talk about some winter themed video games, or maybe specifically some winter themed levels within maybe not necessarily winter themed game. And you guys have like some classic like snow levels or snow chilly games. Hmm. You enjoy playing. I know the Mario 64, the first snow level is pretty fun.
I'm just gonna mention that when I was like that one Mario level, like where you have to like Mario Kart, where you have to drive
Mario
on Kart's the ice
got good ones too,
or whatever. But like when I read the topic and it said like your favorite winter themed game level, for some reason I first thought of Beyond Two Souls, and like I didn't really like the game, but there was this one flashback level where Jody was little and she got to play in the snow, and I really liked how the mocap, I guess the animation for the character, like how she interacted with the snow and like got on the swing set. It was a very different game to like all the other ones I've played, but like just for some reason when I thought of snow, I thought of that one. But I would have to say my favorite one would be in Dead Space 3, because I think a couple of those levels are like snow-based. I know my favorite part is when the plane crashes right after you get away from...
Tim and I haven't gotten to that one part yet.
It's okay. It's all right.
No,
is it going to spoil anything?
Spoiler.
No, I'm just going to say that Carver and Isaac had like a bromance moment. It was really cute.
Gotcha.
And then it was... So it warmed me up when I... Like in the snow.
Well done.
It just lit that flame in your heart, didn't it?
It did. No, like the dialogue and character interaction between Carver and Isaac in Dead Space 3 is brilliant, but I really like it in the level that you haven't gotten to with Tim, where they interact in the snow.
Hmm. See, I thought for sure you were going to say Silent Hill was going to be your favorite sort of winter game.
Which
in a sense.
One?
Well, the first
Silent
one,
Hill,
because it's
one?
Snowing, isn't it? Like in throughout the game? Or am I wrong?
It is.
Yeah.
You know what it is? But... Like, the graphics, I think, were a bit too pixely back then.
Why would you say that right now? I should walk over there right now and slap you.
You should
slap me.
I know, I got lost in the snow. So I kind of have a place in the back of my
heart. You couldn't find your footprints or whatever?
I couldn't find the fucking dog key, okay? That doghouse? It was too confusing.
But there's no dog here.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But, I spent, I think an hour running around the entire town, and I died once because I couldn't find the door to find the save point, so I had to start over, so that first level just has a place in the back of my heart.
Gotcha. Well, I was going to say the Mario 64 level, but, I mean, it's a pretty obvious one, so I'll just kind of concede that one and hear what Les has to say. But that Mario 64 is pretty awesome level.
Good one.
Yep.
Okay. But I mean, snowed for you northerners maybe, but down here in the south it's rainy, so how about, can we also add in there a favorite rainy themed level?
Sure.
Or
all forms of precipitation are acceptable.
Hail. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, what's your favorite hail level?
I mean, for me though, I guess I would choose the game Fatal Frame 3, and it has rainy and snowy weather, so it counts.
There you go.
But because, the one minute you're trapped in your apartment or house, I can't remember which one it was for Ray. It might have been a house. But and then when you go to sleep when you're in your place, and then you're transported back to the Humoral Mansion, or at least between the settings of the first and second game, and then, which including the third game, and then you're walking through like a half-shingled area with flakes of snow falling ever so daintily through the cracks. And, I mean, that game, I guess I just chose it also because there's this running joke that Rain and I have when it rains here. We just creepily walk into each other's rooms and say things like, "Ray, it's raining again." Because that's, like, what Miku always says to Ray when you get back to your place. So, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that would scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, it would.
You sit there and like chant, rain, rain, go away.
Oh god.
That's like the perfect creepy twin thing to do, you know?
Oh my god, it actually reminds me, I watched a video, kind of on topic, I watched a video of this guy in Grand Theft Auto 5 that his name was like Mr. Creepy Koala with like a K. And he would just walk around in Grand Theft Auto Online in passive mode a lot of times, which basically means you can't kill anyone, but you also can't take any damage. And he would walk around with a knife in his hand and through the headset play this like creepy girl singing, rain, rain, go away. And it would just like persistently stalk people, and it would creep them the fuck out. And they'd be like, this guy's stalking me. What the hell, bro? Get away from me. And it was really creepy, but hilarious, because he was just trolling
everyone.
I'm
looking that up later.
Yeah, you have to. It was really funny. So I'm sorry, just kind of off topic, but it was really awesome. And just as creepy as Reen or Lessa just randomly walking into a room and going, it's raining again.
Yeah.
I will say the least favorite winter level ever has to be the Sherbert Zone or Sherbert Land or whatever in Mario Kart 64. I hate that level so much.
Is it the one with those dang penguins?
Yes, it's the one with the dang penguins.
It's those penguins again.
I hate it. I always hell. Yes, I crash in that one like over the side all the time and become like one of those ice cubes. It's the worst. So, yep, least favorite.
I kind of enjoy it actually. Just because it feel like a boss when you actually avoid all the penguins.
True.
It's a tricky part.
Yeah, when I was like 11 or 12 years old, when that game came out, I would have been a boss at any level. But now I rage quit all the time on that one. I was like, screw those penguins! I throw my controller.
Also, Surface from GoldenEye is pretty cool. It's like atmospheric and like.
Mm-hmm. That is a good one too.
Frozen tundra.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's move along here into, you know, Tim's thinking about getting a Wii U soon.
Boom.
It's going to be good. We're going to play some Smash. But it took him a while to get the Wii U. It took even me, like, over a year to get the Wii U.
2 years.
I'll talk about, is it worth it to shell out the money for a new system right when it comes out? Is it still worth it? You just, you know, stick to your older games for a while, wait and see. Maybe there's a game later on that comes along like Smash Bros. That makes it a must-buy.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, I always am a fan of what Nintendo's doing pretty much because I'm a fanboy. But I didn't need the Wii U till Smash Bros. Came out. Although I saw Mario 3D World and Mario Kart were coming out a little bit before, so I went ahead and sprung for it beginning of this year. But it still took a while, like, I don't think any of the systems, they didn't have a very good launch. So I don't think there's much reason, unless you like need the latest like Call of Duty or something.
So basically what you're saying is you need like a system seller, and your system seller is Super Smash Bros.
Right, if they had that at launch for Wii U, I would have probably pre-ordered the whole system with the game. But it didn't, so it's like, I'm not going to buy it right away and just like wait for stuff to come out.
See, because that's always an interesting thing. And the reason I kind of thought about this initially was, you know, me getting a Wii U like 2 years after the fact, I still haven't bought either a PS4 or an Xbox One. But Reen recently got a PS4. So I was kind of wondering, you know, why did I wait 2 years? Why did she wait a year? And I'm sure a lot of people, it's because of money. For me, that's one of the reasons. Like, I don't see the point in buying a system when I know a year later you're going to get it for, like, $100 cheaper plus with games bundled in during, like, a Black Friday or something. But ultimately, it comes down to the library for me. I don't want to buy a system when I have no idea what the library is going to be like, you know, because up to this point, there really hasn't been a game out on either of the newer systems that I've been like, yeah, I have to own that game and I can only play it on the, you know, the PS4, the Xbox One. So that's kind of my thing. And I don't really see what, you know, personally, and feel free to disagree with me, but I don't see what the point is to buying things on day one except for it to be like a status thing. Like, people are just like, yeah, I pre-ordered the Xbox One and then I launched on day one, and it's like, you know, people are just like proud of that fact and think it's like a badge of honor. And I'm just like, I kind of look at them and I'm like, kind of dumb. Like, you just spent more money than you needed to, and you could just be patient, you know? But yeah, that's just me. So, but yeah, that's my reason.
I know I wanted to buy a PlayStation 4. Like, I mean, when it first launched, I guess on day one, was it announced at E3? I can't remember which, I think it was.
It was,
like,
yeah.
2 years ago or a year ago it was announced at E3. Mm-hmm. I know Lessa and I were just stalking E3 because we were waiting for, like, Resident Evil news, which Capcom didn't announce until the Tokyo Game Show. I think my years are messed up. But anyways, I didn't feel like, I was like, oh my god, here comes a PlayStation 4. And then, like, as the months went on, it's like the Evil Within, and I'm like, well, I have a 40 gig PlayStation 3. It's a little, it's so fat. But, and unless it has a slim one with, I think, like 100 and...
I don't know how many gigs mine has. 100
something. And, like, I guess as the release date for the Evil Within kept crawling closer, I'm like, well, how many, like, then they started releasing articles on it about, oh, well, it's 40 gigs for the PlayStation 4, but only 7 gigs for the PlayStation 3. I was like, oh, well, my silly PlayStation 3 fat thing is almost out of memory. Because I keep all of my Resident Evil game save data, and I don't take it off because I play those games mostly, and then if I do end up playing, like, Dead Space, I'll just put it on a USB and store it somewhere else so I can have more space. So I think I only have 10 gigs left on my PlayStation 3, and then, like, The Evil Within was right around the corner, and I'm like, well, it might run slow, because I know I put another game in, and it was running a bit slow, and I was like, you damn PlayStation 3. Yeah, what'd I say?
Oh, you didn't specify, sorry.
And then, so, it was, like, the weekend of The Evil Within being released on October 14th, and I'm like, you know what? I'm in a cave, I want awesome graphics, because Mikami Shinji, the creator of The Evil Within, also did the original Resident Evil, so, like, he's like a god in my heart, and I was like, I want this in the best graphics. So, like, the day before The Evil Within came out, I went to GameStop, I, like, spent $500 buying the PlayStation 4, The Evil Within, like, with all the DLC, and then the season pass for when they release the the levels with Kidman and this other DLC stuff coming out. So, like, I went all out for that. And but I was also waiting, like, during that time period, trying to, like, rack up a couple games. Like, how Tim said, library. Like, I don't want to just have my PlayStation 4 for The Evil Within. Like, so now I'm planning to get Until Dawn, which is PS4 exclusive.
That was another reason why we got it, because the PS4 exclusive and Until Dawn was only going to be for that system. Besides, I think, I don't know if it's still on for Project Morpheus, but that was, like, one of the other main reasons. We started backtracking and thinking ahead of what games are going to be exclusive for PS4, and then so juggling that also with, like, our purchase, so that's also what pushed me to get a PS4.
Exactly, so, like, now I have a little mini library building up, and I'm just kind of either looking if I want this for PlayStation 3 or, like, PlayStation 4. Like, that's my way of thinking, or whatever.
For me, I think that also buying a PS4, or, like, a really new console right off the burner, I think it's nice to wait a little while, because I know that Reen hates me, because when I talk about getting my PS4, I want to get the one that's has the cover art of The Evil Within on the...
You can't do it. It's Japanese exclusive. We looked this up.
Fudge, are you kidding me? Okay, when you were telling me that. Okay, well, screw that. But okay, also, like...
See, I would have bought one with the logo on it to, like, sell my heart out for that specific whatever, but it was Destiny, and I'm not a big Destiny fan, so I didn't want Destiny or whatever other one they had offered, so I just bought a regular PlayStation 4. Yes, if you... I don't want The Last of Us one. I mean, it was a good game, but watching you play it, like, 3 times and fuck up when you went over your save data, and now have to, like, upgrade all your shit again, I can't do it anymore.
I'm sorry, but, I mean, on the subject of waiting for a new system, because I know that Reen and I were ticked with that when we bought a 3DS, and then they brought out the 3DS XL, and then they started making ones with, instead of buying cases for the 3DSs, you could get the ones with, like, the Pikachu covers and all, like, different Nintendo characters, and so I think it was, like, it's nice to wait a while, because otherwise, like, what Reen and I did the first day the 3DS XL came out, we're like, oh, transfer our data, we're getting a red one, and then afterwards they were like, oh, what about this Pikachu one, and we were like, fudge, we should have waited, so.
Yeah. Regret kicks in afterwards. And now they have talk of a PlayStation 5, I'm like, hey, Sony, I just bought a PlayStation 4, can the talk of a PlayStation 5 wait a couple years? I'm kind of ticked off about that, but I'm still not regretting my decision.
I wouldn't worry. It probably won't even release until, like, at least 2017 is what I'd put it at, which is still pretty short, you know, like, I mean, the PS2 was around for like a decade or probably like 8 years or something until they finally came out with the PS3. So I feel like the timelines are getting shorter, but I don't know. I'm hearing that Joel would buy a system if it had Super Smash Bros. Reen, it sounds like if the Evil Within came out with the PS4, you may have gotten it day one.
I might have.
Resident Evil. That would be the calling.
So that's your system seller.
Did create Resident Evil, so he's in my Resident Evil category. So yeah, I think if it was like a really good horror game and it was coming out for a new system, yes, I would buy it. I did the same thing when I was little, where I think I already told the story on like another podcast, but where they had this new Inuyasha game. It was for PlayStation 2. PlayStation 2 had just come out, and I was walking by GameStop with my dad, and I was like, oh my god, Dad, they have an Inuyasha game. I have to buy it. So he bought it for me. I'm like, Dad, this is PlayStation 2. I don't have a PlayStation 2. So we went to like another store to buy a PlayStation 2, and I came home with the new game and a PlayStation 2, so it was a nice thing. I think I haven't grown out of that, so I'm kind of glad that the Evil Within wasn't released the same time with a PlayStation 4, because otherwise I would have jumped the gun then, but I waited a year.
Bundle, although I wish that bundle was not just exclusive for Japan, because I want an awesome-looking cover.
Right, and the Resident Evil Collector's Edition thing, like, you remember when I was on PlayAsia.com, Yeah, 3 or 4 days, Resident Evil, the HD remake, the remaster to the remake, whatever we talked about in the other podcast, is coming out, but it's only a digital copy, and I tried calling GameStop, and they said, we don't have anything for any of this copy, and I'm like, what are you talking about? This makes no sense. So I went online, that didn't even make any sense what I just said, but I went online, and I found out that in a couple days, it's released on this one site called Play Asia, where I can buy it in English or Japanese, and I'm planning on purchasing it, but they had a collector's edition, and it had the awesome map of the freaking Resident Evil mansion. I'm like, oh my god, yes! And I scrolled down, and it said exclusive for Japan only. I'm like, no! I was torn! Okay, maybe let's get off this subject before I just go fangirl!
So, how Resident cool Evil is a system seller for Rina and Lessa. I would have never guessed.
Never
guessed. I gotta go do a shot now,
Tim. Yeah, sorry, buddy. I'm out of liquor already. They already said it like 18 times, so.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. What would be your seller, Tim? Like, what would get you to buy a console?
You know, in today's gaming world, I have not found a series yet that I have fallen in love with. Like,
what if
I
they
used
remade
to as a kid.
Earthbound? What if they remade Earthbound and they put it on a PlayStation 4 exclusive?
Okay, if they remade Earthbound, because they came out with like an HD Earthbound for Wii U, and even that wasn't enough. But if they released Mother 3, which is the sequel to Earthbound, it's called Mother 3 in Japan, the series called Mother. If they gave me and the rest of Earthbound fans in North America the rest of the Mother series on a console like a Wii or something like that, then yes, I would buy. That would be a system seller for me, because we have been waiting for too damn long as a fan base for that's like our Half-Life 3. Like, we're just going to be waiting forever, and we're never going to get Mother 3 or any of the other Mother series games. So we just got Earthbound. It was glorious, and that's it for us. So that would be it for me.
Every gamer has an Achilles heel. You just have to know where to look and cut.
It used to be Final Fantasy for me up until 10. Then 10 kind of ruined it for me. It was a good game, but it lost sort of the allure to it. I was more of a 8-bit, 16-bit, 32-bit kind of guy for Final Fantasy. But yeah, so that would be it. Mother series.
Yeah, I mean, you said Smash Bros. Gets me to buy a system, but it's really the whole Nintendo collection. I love the Mario series, Zelda from time to time, Mario Party. It's the whole assortment, which is why, N64 is the best system, and you really don't actually need anything else most of the time. So you never have to buy another console ever again.
There you go.
That's my final answer.
And no day one update for an N64 either.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. You just turn it right on and play.
What a concept. Right? What a concept.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, so you guys already know where I stand when it comes to which console's the best, which company's top dog in the console race. Just permanently, it's Nintendo, I think. But I have a guess as to what Reen and Lester are going to say.
If you're going to say Sony, you are wrong.
What?
Am I?
Okay. Explain as much yourself. As a Sony fan I am, I'll have to say Nintendo, because, like, I look back on all these news articles and, like, blogs and stuff, and, like, there hasn't really been a lot of complaints. I mean, like, let's face it, gamers will be gamers, and we are never satisfied. But, like, Xbox One had fire raining down on them from their fans, like, saying, what did you do to Xbox or whatever? And then, like, PlayStation 4, I guess some people, like, were complaining. But, like, Nintendo's kind of like, it's butterflies and bubbles and stuff. Like, look, we have Smash Bros. We have this and that. Everybody, let's hold hands and do, like, all this co-op stuff, while Microsoft's all like, this is exclusive for this, and yeah, I mean, like, yeah, the Wii is exclusive, but I think it's more appealing and pleasing to more of its fans. And then, like, Sony is just kind of Sony, and, like, I don't even know, I have a love hate with Sony, but, like, sadly I would have to say that the biggest player in the system right now is probably Nintendo.
Who do you think's gonna,
customers, I think, are satisfied with Nintendo. Like,
I mean, yeah, if we're talking about the big kids like Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, then I too would also have to personally say that Nintendo holds the title in the future, because they already have their hands finger deep in so many outlets. You have the family and couch consoles, like with the Wii, and then you have the handhelds, the Wii U, the 2DS, the 3DS, and then with the 3DS, you have the 3D capability to go beyond just like a flat screen and dimensionalize. I'm not even sure if dimensionalize is even a real word.
It is now.
Okay. Selfie became like a word in the dictionary like 3 years ago, so you can dimensionalize, okay. Everybody. Dimensionalize.
Yes. But then you have your favorite characters in 3D and like in the screen, and then amiibo figurines. So yeah, as of right now, I would say that Nintendo, although my opinion is subject to change, but I'm a live in the moment, so right now it's Nintendo. Yep.
Interesting.
Sony's put up with too much shit for too long.
Yeah. I personally think that right now Sony is king, and this isn't a personal opinion. I don't really like Sony as a company and what, you know, a lot of the stuff they're doing, but I think right now, I think you can't argue with how Sony has marketed their machines, how the longevity of their systems carries. You know, I mean, just this last year, they were still coming out with games for the PS2. You know, and the PS3 will probably still have games coming out for it for years to come. They do a really good job of keeping their loyal fans happy and giving them, you know, rewards, which is always a good thing for a company to do. Microsoft hasn't really done as well there. They're not as good as popular in Japan. But I will say this, you know, I think that there is a solid case to be made for Nintendo now, but especially in the future. I think the way Nintendo is doing things as a company, by sticking to their guns, you know, saying the Wii U has promise and actually delivering on that promise to fans this past year and into next year with things like Mario Kart, Super Smash Bros., you know, Hyrule Warriors was a unique game. They're coming out with a new Legend of Zelda. They're doing things right with like third-party games like Bayonetta. They're doing it right. And I think that people are going to start, like me, and I was a skeptic. I did not think the Wii U was a legit console. Even like 9 months ago, asked me, and I would have said, no, there's no way I would own a Wii U. Now, I'm a huge believer, and I think that if they keep being innovative in what they do with their consoles by keeping fans happy with things that they want, like free online play with friends, if they can make the interface a little bit friendlier about setting up matches and stuff with friends, they're going to pull ahead, because I think people are going to go back to their roots. We were all at one point Nintendo kids, a lot of people my age and a little younger, definitely older. This Nintendo is where it is. So I think Nintendo, give it like a few more years, or especially at the next console release, they might very well own, you know, the lion's share of gamers' hearts.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of like Bayonetta and the Wii U, did you know that they're putting like a sexy Link costume, I think?
They already have, yeah. Outfits? Sexy Peach, yeah. Sexy Link, there's a couple others. And I think Fox, there's a sexy Fox costume. So yeah, I did see that. And if I get the game, I will be very excited about that.
Yeah, like it made me wonder, like, this is totally off topic and random, but like, you know how I think like Link in is like, I guess he's a different character in all the Link games, but he's going always being the hero of like the story. What if they made him a female? I'm just like wondering, what if he turned out to be a little girl instead of the Link we know and love, has like that really awesome scream and who waves around a huge sword?
I think the best cosplay I've ever seen is from women doing Link, because he is a very effeminate looking character. He's kind of elfish, right? So I mean, you know, I mean, look at who they picked to be Legolas in Lord of the Rings. Orlando Bloom, possibly the girliest looking dude in Hollywood. So Let's just be honest here. I think that if they made a Legend of Zelda movie, they'd probably pick a woman to play him, a la like Peter Pan and other famous characters played by women. So that's just my personal take, but.
Yeah, I'm just thinking you'd probably like throw the whole fan base for a loop, like, oh my god, and then there'd be probably so much fan fiction of like female Link and then male Link, and then they meet in some alternate universe. What?
I said male Dark Link, but yeah.
Yes, okay. Male Dark Link. Okay, off the subject. Sorry, that was just my curiosity peaking.
Gotcha. So yeah, that's, you know, I think Nintendo in the future and all that other good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I want to. Every generation, I wouldn't go with Nintendo. I do think. The Genesis I prefer over at Super Nintendo.
Ooh.
And I like the PS3 over the Wii by a little bit. The PS Triple.
Mm-hmm.
Played a lot of FIFA on there. Some good Need for Speed, Soul Calibur. And the Wii, you know, Brawl's not that great. Mario Party's okay. But I think PS3 is a little better. But now I'm definitely, I think we use the best of the three newest ones. So yeah, I was at GameStop for the release of Smash Bros.
Mm-hmm.
This past Thursday night. It was like a little party. Nice nerd gathering there. It's pretty cool. It's pretty hype. I guess, I didn't know this, but I guess GameStop is, they're getting mad at like Sony and Microsoft because Sony and Microsoft are giving away older games for free. Is this on the system? Like, people
yeah.
who own the console can just download it for free now?
Yeah, I'll add some more details.
Yeah.
It was a story I read
yeah.
That basically, you know, GameStop is a software retailer, and that's basically how the game has worked for the last God knows how long, right? I mean, ever since the days of, like, the regular Nintendo. The companies like, you know, Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft, what have you, Sega, they have traditionally sold their hardware, the consoles, and reaped the huge share of the profits from the hardware sales. And then what they do is they turn it over to, you know, either their own company, like Sony produces games, or third-party companies to create the software, the games for those. And then the retailers, like GameStop, traditionally things like Funko Land, you know, even things like Blockbuster when they were still around, and other places like Sears and whatnot, would sell those games for the retail price and get the profits, some of the profits themselves, and the hardware companies like Sony and whatever wouldn't really get a lot of the money. They would make their money from the hardware. So what's happening recently is with Xbox 360, PS3, and beyond, if you have, say, a subscription like Xbox Live and PS Plus, you get free games every month or twice a month just for being a subscriber. And, you know, that's one of the main reasons I have a subscription, is to get free games like Assassin's Creed 2, which I've started playing, and I think it's a great deal. But GameStop's getting upset because now they're saying, hey, wait a minute, you're kind of breaking this unwritten rule that, you know, you profit from the hardware and then we profit from the software that comes from all those sales. So there's a little bit of a rift between some of the higher ups at GameStop and, you know, the gaming companies for selling digital games through the consoles, as well as giving away free games with the subscriptions. And so I was, you know, I really don't give a shit. I hate GameStop personally from, you know, years of just being screwed over by them. And that's just my own opinion. But I think that it's, you know, I think that you should have healthy competition and allow people to buy games how they want. But I also feel like GameStop's just kind of being a whiny baby. So that's just my opinion. I just kind of wanted to see what everyone else thought about the issue, since I know you guys shop at GameStop, whereas I do not.
Yeah, I'd like to say we're regulars at the GameStop, just because we go in there and we always see the manager. We're like, hey, dude, what's up? But, like, I mean, for those who buy, like, I guess PlayStation Plus or whatever it is on Microsoft, like, they're spending $60 yearly, I guess, like, a year for, like, a variety of games. Like, how, I know, Tim, you say that it gives you a variety of games for free or something like that for PlayStation Plus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so it's not like we can just walk into GameStop and say, hey, bros, I'll give you $60 for one game, and you give me, like, five free. I mean, they're not even, like, they're older versions, so it shouldn't matter, right? And it's like, no, GameStop won't do that, but I don't know where I was going with that. It just sounded like a really good point. So.
It's all right. You'll get there. Just keep walking. You'll eventually get there.
Okay, but, like, I think a game's a game, like, no matter if it's hard or soft. But if we're talking about digital copies versus hardware copies,
I guess it all just depends on preference, right? Because I know, Reen, you were bitching about it last week where you couldn't get the... You could only get the digital copy of Resident Evil Remake. But you're like, where's my hard copy? Because do you like to add it to the collection instead of just right on your PS?
Exactly, and also for Resident Evil Revelations, which is coming out next year, like since they've made it episodic, now they have it where you can buy a season pass, which is digital, for the episodes, and then like it comes out weekly, and then you wait a month after those episodes come out to buy the hard copy, and I'm like, what the freak are you doing, Capcom? You can't do this to me. So like, I usually never buy just a digital game, but I think I might melt down and just totally, when Resident Evil Revelations 2 comes out, I will buy the digital copy and then wait for the hard copy to come up, because who knows, they might have like random DLC stuffed in the hard copy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A game's a game, so, like, I guess, I don't know.
Well, I get what you're saying, like, hard copies. I love hard copies. I actually would prefer to get a hard copy game than a digital copy. I love the free games I get with the subscription, and I'll take those all day long, because sometimes they're titles that I've thought about but wasn't going to drop the money on, and I'm like, hey, free gift in a sense. But, like, if there's a game, say, like Super Smash Bros. Coming out, right? When I get the Wii U, it's going to come with it, but even if it didn't come with it, I was going to buy it, and I want it to be a hard copy because I want something tangible in my hand. So I appreciate that. I just think that, you know, if you don't have to buy from GameStop or whatever. I mostly get a lot of my hard copies online, either like at Amazon or mm-hmm. secondhand from people like on Craigslist and stuff. You know, I'm okay with doing that, and I know a lot of people aren't, but I don't know. I know, Leslie, you're about to say something, so I'm sorry for interrupting you. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, who doesn't jump for glee when the word free is attached? I like free games. Hell, I love free games. So anything free is like, yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, I think there's a feeling of accomplishment. Like, if I go to GameStop and I, like, or let's just say I'm sitting in front of my PlayStation and I just bought DLC for one of my games, I'm like, yay, I have the DLC. It's like if I go to GameStop and buy the game with the DLC, like, I'm sorry, that was a horrible excuse. Okay, let's just say I'm sitting in front of my PlayStation 3 and there's a game online. I'm like, I want to buy the game. Cool. So I buy it. I'm like, yay, I bought the game. I go to GameStop, I get a physical copy in my hands. I can rub my cheek over. I can stroke every little piece and crevice. I can tear that wrapping stuff off and be like, I have a fucking game in my hand. But like a digital copy, I'm like, yay, I have a game. It's on there somewhere. What if the console crashes or your account gets, God forbid, the console becomes corrupt and you lose all your data or something, or like whatever, you at least have that physical copy sitting mm-hmm. on your shelf where you can crack it open, smell the new smell if it's trapped inside that case still, put it in and be like, I have a fucking game in my hands, just mm-hmm. put it back to that. So like I will just say I like hard copies a lot more than digital copies, but for Resident Evil Revelations 2, I will crack and I will just buy digital to play the episodes and then buy the hard copy when it comes out a month later.
What about you, Jolie Oleol, since you also frequent GameStop?
Jolie Oleol!
Yes. That's my name. I like both at times. Like, it's really fun to just walk into a GameStop or, like, even better, like a local game store that has, like, we have one in Canton that has, which is a city near me, where... it's got, like, every console starting with Atari.
Oh, where's this at? Hold up, where
called,
is this?
Yeah, it's out to... Tim and I grew up in Canton, so... It's called Destiny Games.
Wait, where is that?
It's on, it's right by my parents' house. It's on, Ford and Lily.
I have checked this out. I'm sorry, I won't derail the conversation, but I will look this up, because that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's, like, right by IKEA.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's awesome. It's got Atari all the way up. The newest games, like you could have still pre-ordered Smash for Wii U from them.
That's cool.
And they have like a gaming lounge where you can like pay by the hour and do like competitions and just, like game
with friends.
Sounds
unfair. Why does Florida not have this?
Because Florida is where old people go to die. And like, no offense.
It's America's waiting room.
No offense. Exactly. Like, I mean that in the nicest
America's hospice.
Yeah.
Wait, I mean that in the nicest way possible, as in. It's a place where people can come to relax and retire. Let me put it that way.
Mm. Yeah.
The cruder sure, way would be what I just said a couple seconds ago, but I won't say it again.
I much prefer that.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, though. Like, you guys shop at GameStop, and like you mentioned Destiny Games, but like, what about stores like Best Buy, and you know.
Oh my God, they're so overpriced. It's not even fair.
But it's the same price as GameStop. If you want a new copy, you're not gonna find like the Evil Within for like $50 at a GameStop versus $60 at Best Buy. It's the same price.
I think Lessa meant, like, I know every Black Friday we always go to Best Buy to buy, like, anime merchandise, like, all the box sets and stuff, but they don't lower those prices at all. Like, a box set will still be, like, 60-some-odd dollars or 50-something or whatever, like, just for a box set of one anime. Like, they never lower the prices on Black Friday, and we're like, pfft, GameStop is gone. Hmm. I mean, no, sorry, not GameStop. Best Buy.
But does GameStop do that stuff for you, too? Like, do you go in and are able to get that stuff cheaper? Just playing devil's advocate here. Like,
have a power-up card, if you can buy one game and get one free, I think with the power-up rewards card or whatever for GameStop, if you're a member, I think they have that. And I think Lessa's expired, so I would have saved so much money on buying that PlayStation 4 if I renewed it, but I don't know. It's one of those moments where you walk in and it's like, I could spend 14 extra dollars to renew this power-up card, but we're always so lazy.
Mm. I don't know. I just think that GameStop is whining, you know, if I may have just
Last
bit.
And with the subscription, the subscription thing, you're still paying for the game, just not directly. So I don't know why they're mad.
Right. Well, I think they're mad because their livelihood, and I read this, they are like a $2 billion industry in some ways, like their profit margin or something like that is like in the billions, but they have lost a lot of that money this year because I'll give you one guess to what their largest revenue comes from at GameStop. No guesses?
I don't know.
Used games.
Oh, used games, right.
Yeah,
go.
Because you sell, you go in there, Reen, with the Evil Within, how much money do you expect to get for that game even though you just bought it? What?
I'm not giving it back.
$15, $20 max, and they'll turn around and sell it for $45 or $50.
Yep.
You know, it's a scam, and that's why I think that GameStop is whining, whereas other places like Best Buy, Walmart, places that don't really rely on secondhand sales are doing just fine, and they don't care. That's my little – I'll step down from the pulpit again for the second podcast in a row. But anyway, so.
The last thing about having a downloadable game is nice for the same reason like Netflix is nice. Like, once it's past business hours at GameStop and like you really want a game or you really want Netflix, a movie, if it's like after you can't rent it at the store, it's nice to have that option.
Yeah, true. Or there's like
right away, or if like you don't feel like leaving the house,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah, there's 18 inches of snow that just fell on your car and you're
right.
screw that,
I'm not going it's not worth it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why I think it'd be nice to have them coexist, which they will for a while yet. So moving on to our last topic, first PlayStation turned 20. I believe, is that correct?
I believe so. I think Sony's PlayStation, turned 20 years old.
20 years of Sony making consoles ever since they had that disc drive add-on planned for the N64.
And they screwed it up.
And then I think Nintendo screwed up.
They did.
They were
what's
like,
wrong
we don't need that. And we're gonna have Philips make a CDI system.
Ugh.
And we all know how that went.
Idiots.
But, Nintendo might have lost there, but gamers won because now, we got a lot better competition.
True story.
Obviously, PlayStation 1's a legendary console. So we want to talk about what's your favorite, or in your opinion, the best PlayStation moment, like the best game or like period of time for any of the PlayStation consoles 1 through 4 in the past 20 years. And let's go to Reen and Lessa, because I think you guys are more familiar with each PlayStation.
I would have to say my favorite console is PlayStation 2. I have like a hoard library just of PlayStation 2 games. I have probably half the amount of PlayStation 3, and then I have like one PlayStation 4. So I think PlayStation 2 is my is and will always be my favorite console. I know the first game, or one of the first games that I think Lessa and I played was Downhill Domination. It was a two-player, and it was like a bike. Like, I guess people have car racing games, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. So this one was like a bike racing game where you have characters on bikes. So it was interesting, and it kept us in front of the TV longer than it should have. And it was very entertaining to crash. They weren't graphic, because I guess this was not a graphic game. But when you crash into a tree, you get the sound effects like, and then the person just dies and keels over. But it was entertaining.
No, it respawns. They wouldn't show death. It respawns.
Oh, whatever. You respawn, but I swear people cracked their spines in that game on like some curves that people hit. And then, like, I think besides playing Super Nintendo, the PlayStation 2 also brought out co-op games, so it was a lot more entertaining and fun for Lessa and I to sit down and play two-player games on a single console.
Yeah, I think I would have to pick PS2 as well. Although PS3 is close, because I love, you know, as much as it's basically banging your head against the wall, but I like playing FIFA. And there's some other good PS3 games, but PS2, and for me it's because of the rhythm games. I really enjoyed playing Guitar Hero 3 specifically, Dance Dance Revolution, because I had like a nice thick dance pad.
Okay, see, when Lessa and
Amplitude before those came out, which is like when they had to try to make a rhythm game just using the PS2 controller, like they hadn't come out with like the trying to go outside the dance pad and the guitar controllers, and they actually, for having to use the PlayStation controller, is pretty fun.
Yeah, like, when Lessa and I first bought, like, I think Dance Dance Revolution 2, we both bought a dance pad for the PlayStation, and now we have two PlayStation 2s, because the first PlayStation 2 that we hooked up the dance pads to, it blew out the vibrate. Like, we couldn't use the pads. Like, as soon as we plugged it in, I think we played one game, and then the vibrating in the controller.
Yeah, the rumble.
The sensory something. The dance pad blew out the sensory in the PlayStation 2 that we had, so we bought another one, and it did the same thing. So either there was like too much energy or something in those damn dance pads, but like those dance pads were useless. We just played with the controllers.
Yeah, you gotta get like the thick one, or else it won't last.
Yeah, we had the thin ones.
I think we got Mad Catz, which afterwards we read reviews and people were like, those are the worst brand to get, and we're like, oh, well.
Oops.
Yep.
Pays to read.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench in here with mine, and I know you guys have both said, or all three of you said PS2, and I love the PS2. It's, it's up there with one of my favorite consoles of all time. And it's probably my favorite PlayStation console that's come out ever, but my favorite PlayStation moment is from the PS1 or the PSX, however you want to call it, and it was a Final Fantasy game, of course, because that was like the zenith for me when it came to RPGs, and, you know, it got me hooked on games like, you know, Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy Tactics, but the one that really got me was Final Fantasy IX, and it was just one of those moments where, for one weird reason or another, you get hooked into that game so much that it just affects you, and I'll just never forget, I was sitting in my room, and I was playing this game, and I'd been playing it, like, nonstop for a solid week and a half during the summer, and I probably barely left my room and was just sinking hours into this game, and at the very end, it was over, I beat the final boss, and I just, like, I sat there and watched the credits, and almost just lost it. I was just, like, I couldn't believe it was over. I was both happy and just sad as hell because it was over, and it was just, like, the most engrossing gaming experience I had ever had up to that point. Like, it still kind of sets the benchmark, so, you know, It was just amazing. I was just, like, at that point, I'd never really felt that games were something that you could relate to, and actually have some sort of emotional attachment to, but that was the very first game that I looked to, and I'm like, that was the one that I realized that games were more than just, you know, mindless entertainment. It was something that could be more to somebody. It could actually mean something. So
exactly. See, I love that. When I buy a game, I don't buy it just so I can play it and say, hey, I've played it. I buy it to play the adventure. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I can't understand how some people can just buy a game and then, like, in one day they're like, okay, I beat it, cool, it was a good game, blah, blah, blah. I'm mm-hmm. like, well, I like to play the game, like, go back and forth. Like, I don't like to just beat it all in one go. I like to go back and forth because then, like, say, for instance, I stop at one part and then it stays with me for, like, a week. I'm like, well, that was really interesting, and I go back to it. Like, I feel more connected. Not, I don't play it just for the sake of playing it. I play it to feel the adventure, I guess, if that's just
No, it's legit. And then, you know, like I said, it was that was that point that I started looking at video games as different. And it, you know, I started actually getting excited about some games, reading about them, and I wanted something that had a story. And that began my many years, and even up to this point, of looking at games more than just for, you know, what can keep me sustained for, yeah, like a few hours. I want something that I can play and actually feel like I'm a part of that, you know, that gaming world apart from just holding the controller. So it was pretty awesome. But yeah. So yeah, happy 20 years of Sony PlayStation. It's been awesome. And who knows, maybe they'll be around for another 20 years and our kids will be playing the PlayStation 10 or I don't even know what the hell at
Good
that point
God.
It'll be. So yeah, the way they release consoles now, who knows, but happy 20 years PlayStation. It's been pretty awesome ride. They've given us a lot of awesome stuff. So, I think that basically does it for all of our topics. Real quick, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to some people on Twitter. First of all, I want to give a shout out to John DK Parker. He's a listener of the podcast, has been listening since the beginning. He's a really cool guy. So thanks, John, for being a big fan. You can find him at Twitter at JDK Parker. He's an awesome gamer, always a good follow. So anyone listening, definitely go give that guy a follow. And another shout out to another follower on Twitter named Snowy. Awesome guy, also a gamer, you know, worth a follow. Always has awesome stuff about games he's playing, and also has a blog up. You can find him at Snowhawk88. So shout out to those awesome people. Thanks for being good friends of ASG Podcast. We really appreciate it. So
yeah, thanks guys.
Thank you.
So yeah, that does it this week for us. Episode 8 here on All Systems Go. You can follow us on Twitter at ASG_podcast. We'll be releasing our podcasts right now on Podomatic, but you can also find us, I believe, on iTunes as well. So feel free to look us up there. And I guess we'll end this, as always, by telling you gamers, listeners around the world, game on. This has been All Systems Go.
Intro music provided by Wonderflux and outro provided by Labyrinth. You can find more information about All Systems Go at asgpodcast.podomatic.com or follow us on Twitter at ASG_podcast.